Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. For those of you who truly know God and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that the devil will try to hinder God's people. And so you've heard me talk about this in the past. One of the reasons why I mention it to you is because the devil hates what we do here. The devil is mad at us because the gospel goes out from here and from this ministry around the world in every nook and cranny of the world multiple times a day. And it's been that way for years. And so we thank the Lord that we have had a great beginning of the new year with many great miracles and answers to prayer. And this is our first day. We've had little hiccups here and there, but this is our first day. The devil has issued a major attack to try to hinder us from getting the gospel out and encouraging saints and praying for those who are grieving. But by the grace of God, we are back and we are here. And hopefully, hopefully by the grace of God, tomorrow we'll have a backup program ready to go. And so that when one goes down, we'll have another one. Or whatever the devil is doing, we'll be praying that it will not have us down long, and I will deal with the situation. Now, if it is a person allowing the devil to use them, I assure you I will deal with that person, because it is far bigger than them. It's not about them. It's about God and Jesus Christ and us obeying the Great Commission and the Great Commandment and getting the gospel out to those who need it, as we are indeed standing between the living and the dead. The devil struck in his own way while I was praying. And so we're going to finish praying, but first let me say once again, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. Welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead devotional. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible, episode number 44, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows you to read the whole Bible. Yea, this unique Bible allows you to read the whole Bible as a true story, as a single true story, and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today, beloved, we're reading Genesis chapter 42. Holy Father God in heaven, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as I continue in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much that this is not my first rodeo, as we say in Texas. I thank you, Lord, that I am not ignorant of the devil's devices and how he works to hinder your work. He will even try to make it a personal thing when it's not personal at all, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I know the devil is mad at what we do here, and he wants it stopped, and he evidently will do anything and everything to try to stop it, working through Judas's, working through Jezebel's, working through Sanballat's and Tobias's, to try to hinder your work, or from some demonic force from the outside. Oftentimes a religious source, for not only do I have enemies in my own family, I have enemies in the religious community. In fact, these are my greatest enemies. I really don't have any enemies who are out and out sinners, except for a certain group. And Lord, you know all about that. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the fight. I thank you for the battle. I thank you for wiring me for it. I don't want to have to rise to the occasion and deal with the ugliness that the devil produces. But I thank you for giving me a heart and mind and a spirit and a will to do so when I have to. And Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed, Lord, cast out the devil and the demons of hell. Cast out the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here, and out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people out there who have this problem. And Holy Father God, I pray that our technician Daniel Ezekiel White would do a stellar job in making sure that he fights off the devil and the demons of hell that are attacking him, and make sure everything works beautifully, decently, and in order for your glory, praise, and honor, so that people can hear your holy word, so that people can hear the gospel. And as you know, Lord, it is the joy of my day and the joy of my life to be able to do this, because it is so needed in our day and time as we are living and standing between the living and the dead. People are dying and going to hell. People are dying and going out into eternity unprepared. Some are going out into eternity barely saved, barely getting saved. And we thank you for the few who have trusted you as Savior. Holy Father God, as you know, I wanted to go on vacation way back, right before the plague started, after I finished preaching. I believe it was over 1,300 plus times in a row. With a few days off in between some of the days. But the plague came and you gave me another assignment, and you still have me on that assignment. And I thank you for it. Everybody pray. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, you will bless and have everything to go decently. And in order throughout the remainder of this day, not only in this devotional time that has suffered some hindrance today for the first time this year. And however, we thank you for all of the other days. And Holy Father God, we thank you for all the other days when things worked out well. And we pray that not only this devotional service will go well by your might and your power and smoothly, decently, and in order. We pray that you'll bless and anoint the service that starts tonight if you should tarry your coming and we live at 7 o'clock Eastern and 6 o'clock Central. 4 o'clock Pacific. Help us to be prepared and help us to be ready. And Holy Father God, have your Holy Ghost to draw the people that you want to be there for divine appointments. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you would indeed save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving. And Holy Father God, if we all confess our sins and repent, humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, Lord, if we do right by you, help us, Lord, and deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares and worries, and anxieties and troubles and problems that we're facing. Deliver us, Holy Father God, from all spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, family, financial, material, physical, student loan issues. We pray that you'd wipe all of that out, as well as for all students, student progress issues, people not moving forward because they're depressed or whatever the case might be. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cast all care upon you. For Lord, we know that you care for us. And we pray that you give young people the strength in the mind to walk by faith and not by sight, and to move on with their lives as best they can, being cautious regarding this dangerous plague, to walk by faith and to walk obediently, along with reading the Bible and getting educated that way, to continue on with their pursuit of knowledge in college and otherwise high school, for the it can be easily done today online and be just as fulfilling and real. For until the day we all die, there's nothing wrong with learning more. So help them to do that and to have faith about their future. We also pray, Lord, that you would deliver us from tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and even tensions. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this time together. And Lord, we pray that you would bless and protect the service tonight as well as your holy word goes out all around the world. And Lord, we pray that you would bless and protect our family and all other Christian families. Protect us, Lord, all from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. And Lord, place upon us all the whole armor of God. And cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ and make us to be whiter than snow. And Lord, be with us personally, individually, family-wise, ministry-wise, church-wise, and otherwise. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, "Thus saith the Lord," the Word of God at Genesis chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do ye look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, "Lest peradventure mischief befall him." And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. Just leave it up, and then put two side by side with you two. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, The third day this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, My money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is this that God hath done unto us? Just put one of the Facebooks beside YouTube and leave it. And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, My son shall not go down with you. For his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Lord, not only because it is true and holds many lessons for us, but Lord, these are no doubt some of the most emotionally stirring and moving stories that have ever been written in the history of the world. And every time I read this story, and some of the other stories that you have included in your holy word, I am moved mightily by them. And I pray that you will help us all to love your holy word more, to cherish it, to obey it, to live by it, and to apply it to our hearts and lives, and to remember it, to meditate on it, to obey the principles therein, and to apply them to our lives, to share them with others and to proclaim your holy gospel from your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 745. Where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast, my dear friends, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in John 3:16, the most loving words ever said to humankind, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear friend, if you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, do so today. For we are standing between the living and the dead. You could be alive at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and dead by 9 because of the coronavirus plague alone, or for 1,000 other reasons. For the Bible makes it very clear that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and just as everyone else is, from the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, from Joel Osteen on down, whoever may be your spiritual hero and your spiritual giant. They're sinners, just like you. Do not put your trust in man at all. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. For the Bible says we're all sinners. We all have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sin. It is appointed unto men once to die because of sin. And after death comes the judgment. It may not come immediately, but it's coming. Death is a punishment in itself, But one day you will stand before God. The Bible teaches, however, that if you die unsaved, if you die not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will immediately, within a moment of time, lift up your eyes in the burning hell, the place of torment, being tormented in the flames of hell, with a dry, parched tongue and no water to drink. For the rich man, Mr. Dives, was so thirsty, he didn't want a glass of water. He just wanted a damp finger to cool his tongue, because he said, I am tormented in these flames. Dear friend, hell is a very real place. And so thirdly, you need to accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Right now as I speak, I get no joy out of delivering this message to you other than that I'm telling you the truth. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, as Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lord of love and mercy and grace, the meek and lowly one, was a hell, fire, and brimstone preacher. So he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he hates us? No, but because he loves us. In fact, he came and suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, to save you from your sins and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. You're not going to hear this from many preachers today. That's why I preach on it every day. You need to know that you're on the road to hell. In one sermon, Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of torment. In another sermon, Jesus Christ said, he described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Oftentimes when Jesus Christ preached on hell, he always mentioned fire, everlasting fire, eternal fire. So hell is a very real place. Here are some people who will go to hell, people who have done these things. The Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the so-called agnostics and the atheists and those afraid to get saved because they won't fit in or their family will criticize them, and the abominable, these are people who sin beyond the boundaries, who sin beyond the pale. They don't just commit normal sins like the rest of us. They are perverted beyond measure, and so they commit abominations, such as men having sex with men, women having sex with women, parents trying to have sex with their children, men, fathers, trying to have sex with their daughters, mothers trying to have sex with their sons, brothers trying to have sex with their sisters, sisters trying to have sex with their brothers, grown men only interested and perverted in their minds in children who want to rape little boys and little girls, both grown men and grown women. These are the abominable people. And then there are those who want to try to have sex with animals. They're committing abominable acts, abominations, sins beyond the pale, and murderers and whoremongers. Whoremongers are normally men who whore around with women. Whores are women who whore around with whoremongers. People who have sex outside of marriage. And sorcerers, people who practice voodoo and witchcraft and the horoscope and looking into the little crystal balls and so forth. And idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Just thought I'll show you a few of the people who will be going to hell and who are in hell right now and why they're in hell, to help you to understand if you do such things and live in them, never trust Christ as Savior, never repent of them, you will go to hell too. So we see that hell is real, hell is sad news, hell is bad news. And so therefore I want you to understand before I leave you today that there I want to tell you about the good news. Hell is bad news. I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said the most loving, most wonderful, most beautiful words ever said to mankind in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Yes, it is as simple as that. You do not have to be in a church. You do not have to join a church. You do not have to be baptized or get baptized to be saved. All of these things are good to do after you get saved, but they have nothing to do with your getting saved. You don't have to go and change your life before you come to Jesus. It's just an excuse that people make not to come to Jesus when they can, when they have the opportunity. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to do any great works for the church or for the Lord. None of that will save your soul. Only simple belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For that's all Jesus Christ told you to do. He said, Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever means anybody at any time. The word believeth means to have faith in, to have trust in. Him, Jesus Christ, he is referring to himself. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not perish, or you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friends, simply believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today and he will save you. For Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, dear friend, doing good works and giving money and being in a church or joining a church will not save your soul. None of that will save you. Simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him and you will be saved. If you're willing right now to take that easy step to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to turn from your old evil life, do it right now, and I'll be glad, more than glad, to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I admit that I have sinned against you, just as the preacher talked about. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you into my heart and into my spirit to save my soul and to change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change and help me to repent of all of my sins. And Lord, help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray, Lord Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Now, dear friends, let's resume the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, already in progress at the point of the Scripture and the Sense podcast, which is a part of the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service, and also a standalone podcast. You're witnessing a live recording of that podcast. Today, beloved, we are reading Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 12. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face by reading your holy word and understanding your holy word. And Lord, help us to turn from our wicked ways by reading your holy word and understanding your holy word. Help us to repent in a very real sense and get back to you, our first love, because in your holy scriptures we will find you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Verse 12, ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. That was Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 12. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary, with help from them, and also, of course, most importantly, help from the Holy Ghost. The Cushites, or Ethiopians, are descendants of Cush, a son of Ham. These people, residing in the upper Nile region, today's southern Egypt, Sudan, and northern Ethiopia, were the southernmost people known to Judah. Zephaniah's word concerning them, Zephaniah's words concerning them were few, and one wonders if his choice of them, rather than, say, the troublesome Edomites, was simply to stretch the points of the compass to the known extremes. Cushite kings dominated Egypt until their defeat by the Assyrian king Esarhaddon in 670 BC. King Asa of Judah defeated a large Cushite expedition under Zerah that threatened Judah. The Lord's judgment on Cushites is that they, like all Israel's enemies, would be killed in battle. The fulfillment of this prophecy was at least partially realized by the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. Since the Babylonians were God's instrument, God called the attackers swords, my sword. Let's pray. Holy Father God, give us deep understanding of your holy word and help us to obey it. Help us to take heed to it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends and foes, and even foes in the family, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic work and book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast. This is episode number 357, for the Lord and for the glory of God. Our devotional scripture passage chosen by the Prince of Preachers, Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, is Exodus chapter 8, verse 28. And it reads, "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. This is a crafty word from the lip of the arch-tyrant Pharaoh. If the poor bondaged Israelites must needs go out of Egypt, then he bargains with them that it shall not be very far away, not too far for them to escape the terror of his arms and the observation of his spies. After the same fashion, the world loves not the nonconformity of nonconformity or the dissidence of the dissent. It would have us be more charitable and not carry matters with too severe a hand, to not in their minds take it so far, too far. Death to the world and burial with Christ are experiences which carnal minds treat with ridicule, and hence the ordinance which sets them forth is almost universally neglected and even condemned. Worldly wisdom recommends the path of compromise. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing, because this is what has happened to the church today with politicians. Worldly wisdom recommends the path of compromise with the world, with the devil, and with the devil's people, with evil people, and talks of moderation. According to this carnal policy, purity is admitted to be very desirable, but we are warned against being too precise. Truth is, of course, to be followed, but error is not to be severely denounced. Yes, says the world, be spiritually minded by all means, but do not deny yourself a little, and I'm using Spurgeon's words, and this is in a negative connotation, but do not deny yourself a little gay society. How apropos to today. An occasional ball and a Christmas visit to a theater. What's the good of crying down a thing when it is so fashionable and everybody does it? Multitudes of professors yield to this cunning advice, to their own eternal ruin. If we would follow the Lord wholly, we must go right away into the wilderness of separation and leave the Egypt of the carnal world behind us. We must leave its maxims, its pleasures, and its religion too, and go far away to the place where the Lord calls his sanctified ones. When the town is on fire, our house cannot be too far from the flames. When the plague is abroad, a man cannot be too far from its haunts. The further from a viper, the better, and the further from worldly conformity, the better. To all true believers, let the trumpet call be sounded. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for this great admonition from your holy word to us, and so needed, help us to take heed to it, help us to obey it ourselves. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, Dr. James Alexander said, every church, every pastor, every missionary, every elder, every Sunday school teacher, out of love for the generation to come, should make the establishment of family worship an object of separate and earnest endeavor. Every father of a family should consider himself charged with the souls of those whom he hopes to leave behind him, and as contributing to the future propagation of the truth by every act of devotion performed in his house. Wherever man has a house, God should have an altar. Let me say that again. Another powerful thought, quote, to take with you. Wherever man has a house, by the way, that God has blessed them with, God should have an altar, and I agree with that. Let's pray for all families. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all families that name the name of Christ, and for all single people who name the name of Christ as well. Lord, we pray that you will help us all and grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to be true to you, to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of all families that do not know you, and all single people who do not know you. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears. And Lord, help them to hear the gospel. Help them to get saved by the power and the unction of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, please have mercy and grace upon those of us who claim to be Christians, and please forgive us, Lord, of our wicked sins of disobeying your great commandment and disobeying your great commission. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would forgive us of our sin of not witnessing, and as we should. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would raise up laborers into the harvest field to be the witnesses you want them to be for the salvation of every lost soul, including family members and friends. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, recite with me or read with me the new Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, everybody, let's start all over. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to now read in your hearing from the New Testament of the Holy Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 in the King James Version. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, what I call the family verses. And today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Holy Father God, we thank you for allowing us and helping us to read through the book of Ephesians, starting at chapter 1. At the same time, we thank you, Lord, for continuing to read the family verses, or what I call the family verses, when you speak to the family directly and individually. And I pray that you will help us to love and to understand and to obey your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Just three verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. If you want to be blessed in your life as a young person, you would obey these, or you will obey these verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Probably the best thing I've ever said about this passage was said last week when I told all young people, just understand, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And this goes for people who are teenagers and young adults. The way you treat and respond to your parents is how your children will respond to you, and you will reap the whirlwind. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's pray for others. Holy Father God, help us to pray. Grant us your energy, your strength, your grace, and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray, not only for we ourselves, but for others. And Lord, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ in this country and around the globe. Have mercy and grace upon us, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, and crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Truly revive us again by your might and power. And Lord, I do pray that you would cast the devil and his demons and his hosts, Lord, out of the lives of each and every family who has that problem, and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Let your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray, Lord, for everybody in the ministry of government, everybody in the ministry of health, everybody in the ministry of the gospel. We pray for salvation and spiritual family life, protection and provision, blessings, Lord, upon all of your people who are serving you in the ministry, serving in the ministry of government, the ministry of health, and in other areas of life. And Lord, we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Lord, in this country, around the globe, in every family, in every church, in every form of government, in the medical ministry, and in every country of the world, red, yellow, black, or white. Lord, we know that they're all precious in your sight, and we pray for the salvation of all who are lost. Have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior, and help us to do our job in getting your Holy Gospel out to them. We also pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would lead, guide, and direct everybody in government to go in the direction that you want them to go, that we as your people would live peaceful and quiet lives. We pray for the president on down. We pray for all governors, all mayors, all police officers, all sheriffs and deputy sheriffs. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, for every country and leader of each country. And Holy Father God, we also pray that you would comfort those who are grieving and strengthen them. We pray that you would draw them to yourself and save their souls, and draw them to yourself for comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort as well, as so many people are dying each day. We pray that you would be with those who are grieving and mourning, and help them turn their eyes towards you, to be saved and to be comforted. And Holy Father God, we pray now for a few by name, but we include in this prayer request all others who need prayer as well. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray for the family and friends of Tennessee firefighter Claude Talfort. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee father Theodis Quarles. We pray for the family and friends of Illinois student Arnold Herrera. We pray for the family and friends of Georgia Police Sergeant David Crumpler. We pray for the family and friends of New York Dr. A. Emmanuel Houston. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of New York Dr. Maria Jesus Houston, another family impacted by multiple deaths, husband and wife. We pray for the family and friends of Wyoming teacher Sharon Widener. We pray for the family and friends of Florida resident Roger Coley. We pray for the family and friends of Florida resident Betty Coley, another family impacted with the multiple family members who have died. We pray for the family and friends of Tennessee firefighter Ronald Stephen Perry. And we pray, Lord, and we commit their souls into your hands and their lives as well. Let your will be done. We pray and we commit our souls into your hands as well. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray now for all people who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for Tamara. Please deliver her from drugs and alcohol, and bless her with money for a new house. We pray for Naeem. Please bless him with 52 sponsors who will feed 100 people each week in 2021 by your grace. We pray for Pachika. Please bless his ministry to the orphans, elderly, gospel crusades, church planting, and support for pastors. We pray for Ravi. Please heal David from health problems, protect them from the coronavirus plague, give him good health, and provide him with proper treatment. Provide Ravi with sufficient food, education, medical assistance, and shelter for orphan children and the elderly. We pray for Adriana. Please save her family and heal her daughter mentally and give her true joy. We pray for Paya. Please save and heal her family and break all ancestral curses off of their lives. We pray for Claudio. Please save all of his family and friends and heal them of all illnesses. Bring about family restoration. Provide him with the house, rather with the buses and finances he needs to build a church. And now, Lord, we pray for those who have believed in you and who have accepted you as Savior. We pray for OG, John, Clem, Mahesh, Franz, Isaac, and George. Help these all to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. And bless them with other blessings as well. Protect them from the coronavirus plague. And bless them all with salvation and spiritual family and life. Financial and material protection and provision blessings as well. And we pray for all of the people who have rededicated their life to you as well. We pray for Shin, Shal, Al, Linio, Jin, Noma, and Dorcas. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Beloved, our devotional reading today is titled, Will You Love God When You're Going Through the Fire? By Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Job chapter 1, verse 9 says, Doeth Job fear God for naught? This was the wicked question of Satan concerning that upright man of old. But there are many in the present day concerning whom it might be axed with justice, for they love God after a fashion, because he prospers them. But if things went ill with them, they would give up all their boasted faith in God. And by the way, so many people have done that. If they can clearly see that since the time of their supposed conversion, the world has gone prosperously with them, then they will love God in their poor carnal way. But if they endure adversity, they rebel against the Lord, their love is the love of the table, not of the host, a love of the cupboard, not of the master of the house. As for the true Christian, he expects to have his reward in the next life, and to endure hardness as a good soldier in this life. The promise of the old covenant was prosperity, but the promise of the new covenant is adversity. Remember Christ's words, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit." If you bring forth fruit, you will have to endure affliction. Alas, you say, that is a terrible prospect. But this affliction works out such precious results that the Christian who is the subject of it must learn to rejoice in tribulations, because as his tribulations abound, so his consolations abound by Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Sooner or later, every bar of gold must pass through the fire. Fear not, but rather rejoice that such fruitful times are in store for you. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for this great wrap-up, Lord, today. And we pray that you'll help us to take heed to it in a very real sense. For Lord, that's where we are. And help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to pray, to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent, and to be clean all over and all through. Make us whiter than snow on the inside. Reset us and make us anew, and help us to do your will going forward and not ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today, as I have already preached and proclaimed the gospel. If you were not here at that point, the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." So humble yourself and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.